Open your Bibles now, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, in your Schofield Bible, page 1211. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, page 1211. We'll be reading together the first two verses, and then we'll turn to yet another passage. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Verses 1 and 2, let's read together, please. Ready? Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And let's turn now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Page 1295, Hebrews 6, page 1295. We'll read the first three verses. Again, we'll read together. And let's read. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. And let's pray. Father, help us to be hungry for that which is prepared for us tonight. Give us an appetite for your word. Give us an expectation. Father, we pray that you'd give us a hunger and a thirst for the things that you've given our preacher to share with us tonight. Thank you for this place. Thank you for this great church and its ministries. Thank you for these dear people. And so bless the church family. Bless those who visit with us. Very especially bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's wonderful. Our Heavenly Father, we come tonight with the Bible open to present more of its truth. I remember when I was a kid preacher, almost a half century ago, I used to sit down in my study in East Texas and wonder what I was going to preach when I got to preach the Bible all preached up. It seemed like every time I preach on a verse, it opens something else to me. And so tonight we come to reveal a truth of the Word of God that I believe is transforming, or can be transforming, if we'll apply it. May we do so. Amen. I'm aware of the fact that it is 8 minutes until eight. I promise you, just like I would on a Sunday morning on Lord's Supper time, that I will be brief tonight, more so than usual on Sunday night. I want to speak on the subject repenting but not getting right with God. Repenting but not getting right with God. I ask you to pay very careful attention. Years ago, when I first started preaching, I used to have folks, sailors, look at me now. Well, listen to me, I'm preaching to you. Look right this way now. Don't forget, one paratrooper can lift five sailors. And one ex-paratrooper can lick 25 sailors. If you don't believe it, meet me in the alley after the service is over. If I'm not there in 5 minutes, you go ahead without me. Brother Colston will be there in my place. And wake him up and fight him. But anyway, when I first began preaching down in sand hills and pine thickets of East Texas, I used to ask for several different decisions to be made. Everybody get settled now. Everybody get settled. One was salvation decisions. One was if you were saved but not been baptized, you ought to get baptized. Another is if you want to join the church by transfer. We used to have in those days what we called rededications. That term has sort of gone the way of the term revival meetings and things like that. We used to have... Now, let the little girl be quiet. Now, hold her still. There are folks behind her who need to listen. And she can't be still. She'll have to leave the service because people are desperate to hear what this, to get food tonight for their soul. So listen carefully to me now. I'll go back and I'll start again. I had conversions, salvation decisions, folks for baptism, some coming by transfer membership. But then we also had a term we call rededication. Back in those days, if you turned in a report, if an evangelist turned a report in concerning his revival campaign, he would list how many converts he had, how many transfers by membership, and how many rededications. Now that meant that a person was just coming, rededicating his life to Christ. Don't leave me now. Later, I became a little disenchanted with that statement. I felt like when folks came forward, they ought to quit something or start something. And so I sort of drifted a little away from that. Would you mind taking that coat out of the aisle there? Good night, we're in church. But anyway, I get this thing straightened up after a while. Forget that short sermon stuff. You're lengthening it, brother. But I got to the place to where I didn't emphasize the term rededication. It seemed too general for me. I wanted a person who came forward. Are you listening to me now? I want a person who, if he came forward, I wanted him to start something or quit something. So if you walk down the aisle, quit your drinking, quit your gambling, quit your cussing, quit your rock music, quit your soap operas. Or start something. Start praying. Start soul winning. Start reading the Bible. Start being faithful to church. Then, and by the way, like the Sunday night invitation we have here, young people come saying, a young man will come and say, I'm giving up my gangs. Young man will come and say, I'm giving up my dope. Young lady will come and say, I'm giving up my wearing of pants. And I began to emphasize that, leaving the rededication idea, the general idea, coming to the specific. Now, I changed again my emphasis. I ran the cycle. I got the place to where I thought maybe we ought to get back to making a total commitment to Christ. And maybe a total commitment to Christ would include the quitting of the gang, the starting of Bible reading, the quitting of the movies, the starting of prayer, the quitting of the soap operas and the rock music. And maybe I ought to have a dedication of life. And then I got thinking, which is right? I looked at Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and descend. Which does so easily beset us. Now there you have coming forward and giving up the game. Coming forward and giving up your liquor. Coming forward and giving up your cigarettes. Coming forward and giving up your rock music. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now that seemed to be a scripture to underwrite or to underline the fact that you ought to come and give up something. Then I read Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, it seemed like those scriptures conflicted with each other. One said, lay aside every weight and every sin. And the other said, present your body a living sacrifice. Now, which is right? I found the application and the answer. I'll ask you not to turn to it because of time, but I want to turn to it. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth,
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Paul is writing these Christians at Corinth, and he's saying, you're babes in Christ. I've got to feed you with milk. I wish I could feed you meat. But he said, I've got to feed you with milk. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ. There's simply something wrong in staying a babe in Christ. There's nothing wrong with being a baby in our nursery. But when you're 35 years old, you shouldn't be having your diaper changed in our nursery. There's nothing wrong with being a baby. There's something wrong with staying a baby. There's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ. But it's a dirty, stinking shame when some of you folks been saved for 25 years are still babes in Christ. You're no more faithful than the guy that got saved last Sunday. You don't give more tithe than the guy that got saved last month. So Paul is not saying here it's wrong to be a babe in Christ. He said in Peter, desire the sincere milk of the word as newborn babes. Notice he didn't say as babes, he said newborn babes. He didn't say as 30-year-old babes in Christ. See, what he's saying is time some of you folks been saved for 30 years, it's time you quit your soap operas too. It's time you kids that grew up in First Baptist Church quit your dirty rock music just like the bus kids are. He said, as newborn babes in Christ, but you have no right to be an old-born babe in Christ. It is not a sin to be a babe in Christ. It is a sin to stay a babe in Christ. Now then, Paul's talking about these babes in Christ, and let me read you this verse. You need not turn to it, but it's found in Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, now get this, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, what's talking about? Establish the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, and go on to something deeper than that of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. That word means maturity. Not laying again, now get this, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, that's what I was talking about a while ago. Walk down the aisle and you give up your drinking. Paul said, when you grow up, you won't do that. He said giving up drinking is for baby Christians. So Hebrews chapter 12, when it says lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, that's for the baby Christian. That's for the bus kid. That's for the person who got saved last week. And that's what you ought to do. But there ought to come a time in your life where you shift gears. Well, you're not just giving up this sin, that sin, this sin, but you're coming, as Paul said in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence, daily live. Jesus I my cross have taken. All to leave and follow Thee. Now, for the new Christian, I give you Romans 12:1. Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So, for the new child of God, I say to the new child of God, come and give up your gang. I say to the new Christian, come and give up your cigarettes. Now, you old Christians ought to take care of that years ago. No need for a person who's been saved 20 years be giving up cigarettes. Cared for it years ago. Leaving the doctrine of repentance from dead works. Let us go on to perfection. What's he saying? Leaving Hebrews 12:1, lay aside every weight and the sin, which thus we best says, go on to Romans 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I'm saying, certainly for the new Christian, it's a big thing. And by the way, don't you make light of it. When these gang members in Chicago come to a place where they're loved and not used, come to a place where they're taught to be honest and not dishonest, come to a place where they're taught to be clean and not impure, come to a place where they're taught to work and not loaf, come to a place where they're supposed to earn their money and not get it through gambling or stealing, come to a place where integrity is taught and character is taught and decency is taught. Don't you make light of it when one of those kids comes down the aisle and says, I'm giving up my gang. Praise God. That's what they're supposed to do. They are the Hebrews 12:1 Christians. Laying aside every weight and every sin. Don't make light of it, my beloved friend, When it's a big thing when some bus kid comes down here and gives up his drugs. Big thing. But now you deacons ought not to have to take care of that. You ought to have laid aside, left the doctrine of repentance from dead works. Now, a person gives up drugs, that does not mean he's right with God. He has repented of drugs, but he's not right with God. Now, there ought to come a time in your life where you quit repenting of dead works and have them all cared for and then get right with God. It's a big thing when some young lady comes down this aisle and says, I'm giving up my drugs. And it ought to be. They're living in Hebrews 12:1. I beseech you that, I'm sorry, the same comes about, we're so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Don't make light of that. It's a big thing when a young lady comes down here, and a bus girl, for example, and says, I'm giving up my pants. But you kids reared in Hammond Baptist High School, you shouldn't have to do that. You should have taken care of that years ago. Repent of those dead works. Why? Go on to maturity in Christ. I'd be ashamed of myself. Absolutely ashamed of myself. If I grew up at Hammond Baptist High School and in First Baptist Church of Hammond and still had to give up my pants or still had to give up my cigarettes or still had to give up my dirty, sorry, stinking, filthy, putrid rock music. God says for the baby Christian who's learning and just growing in grace, he lives according to Hebrews 12:1. But for the child of God who's been saved for a while, he's supposed to transfer to Romans 12:1. Living sacrifice. Don't make light of it when a child comes down and says, I want to start obeying my parents. Don't make light of that. But for you teenagers that have been in the nursery and beginner department, primary department, and junior department, junior high department, and high school department, you went and started enrolled in Hammond Baptist as a pre-kindergarten, 4-year-old kindergarten, and 5-year-old kindergarten, and first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grades, and through junior high school and high school, you shouldn't have to come down here and say, I'm going to give up disobeying my parents. You should have taken care of that in the fourth grade. Don't you make light of it when people live in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and lay aside every weight and every sin. Don't make light of that as long as they're baby Christians. Nothing wrong with being a baby. There's something wrong with staying a baby. This morning a couple brought their little child in my office. Precious baby. They said to me, our baby was, we thought the child was dead when it was born. And we thought the child was dead. Brother Howell, would you anoint the child with oil? We hope the child is not mentally slow. And that those parents were concerned. And every parent's concerned when they find out that their little baby is not going to develop mentally. And God's concerned when he finds out his little babies don't develop spiritually. And I'm concerned when I found some of you, I've talked to some of you teenagers. I mean, you grew up in the best families in this church. I mean, this church auditorium is as common to you as your own house. You grew up in our schools. God pity your sorry, wicked soul if you don't turn out better than those bus kids do. God pity, I said, your wicked soul. I said, your wicked soul. You ought to relieve the doctrine of repentance of dead works and get right with God. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. A disgrace. A dead disgrace. A dirty, sorry, stinking disgrace. Or you'd have set your carcass in our buildings, grow up in our schools, take the sacrifice of our school teachers who've lived for nothing to make something out of you, who've lived in poverty to make something out of you, and then you don't even give everything you have to God. God pity your sinful, backslidden, wicked, sorry soul. You say you're talking about me, I probably am. You're talking about my son or daughter, I expect I am. It's time that you kids who are graduating this year from Hammond Baptist High School got spiritual. Here you are, 18, 17, 18 years old. I've been saved for years. Not as spiritual as some of these kids that a year ago were in gangs.
I'd be ashamed of myself. Absolutely ashamed of myself. God pity you. You ought not to believe in Hebrews 12. Listen to me, I'm preaching to you. You ought not to believe in Hebrews 12:1. You ought to be in Romans 12:1. You shouldn't be giving up rock music. That should have been taken care of years ago. You shouldn't be giving up smoking and drinking. You shouldn't be deciding to serve God with all your heart. That should be cared for years ago. Don't make light of it. When these new Christians decide to read the Bible 10 minutes a day. Don't make light of it when these new Christian women decide to give up their pants. Don't make light of it when a Christian man decides to get a haircut and not look like the hippie world. You say, Brother House, do you believe it's wrong for a man to have long hair? It doesn't matter what I believe, Buster, but God says it's a sin for a man to have long hair. But don't think light of it. When a new Christian comes down and says, I'm going to get a haircut. Don't think light of it. Don't minimize it. Why? Because you've got to take care of the surface first. You're sick. You go to the doctor. You're bad sick. The doctor says, I've got to get you well quick. The doctor gives you penicillin, antibiotics of some kind. You're not going to live on those antibiotics. They're emergency measures. They're things to get you back in good shape. Now, when he gets you back in good shape, he says, here's what I want you to do to stay well. That's what God is saying here. He's saying in Hebrews 12:1, he's saying, when you're a little child, a babe in Christ, give up this, give up your weights, and give up your sin, and give up the things that are wrong, and give up your cigarettes, and give up your tobacco, and give up your chewing, and give up your dipping, and give up your snuff, and give up your rock music, and give up your soap operas, and give up your movies. I said, give up your movies. I said, give up your movies. But God says, it's time that you left repentance from dead works after you've been saved for a while. Folks in the choir here, you have no business still repenting from dead works. That should be cared for years ago. You deacons shouldn't be repenting from dead works. That should be cared for years ago. Now it's time that you said, I'm going to give my body a living sacrifice. Lay it on the altar. Transfer from Hebrews 12:1 to Romans 12:1. It's a shame for a man to be on the deacon board at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Get me carefully. And be less faithful to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, which you promised to be when you agreed to run for deacon. And you perjured your soul if you're not doing it. Geez, aren't you afraid the deacons will vote you out? Not in the least. And how do they get voted out for preaching that they ought to be behave themselves and stay and push a foot and tickle their ears? But it's a shame for a man who holds the only office in all the church other than pastor to be less faithful than some little kid that has a whore for a mother and a drunkard for a father and doesn't know where his father lives. What a tragic shame. Why don't you leave the doctrines of dead work and go on to perfection and maturity? Leave Hebrews 12:1 and go on to Romans 12:1. Then, as a Christian matures, the shift comes. Between Hebrews 12:1, over here, lay aside every weight and every sin. And Romans 12:1 over here, present your body a living sacrifice. Between that, there and here, is Hebrews 6. Time for you to leave the doctrine of repentance from dead works. Leave repentance from dead works to getting right with God. The person walks down the aisle tonight and quits a gang is not necessarily right with God. That one thing is right. Next Sunday night, that person comes down and says, I'm going to start reading the Bible. That's one thing cared for. Next Sunday night, same person comes down the aisle and says, I'm going to quit my movies. That's something else cared for. And that's important. But the day should come when that person comes down the aisle and says, okay, I am going to present my body a living sacrifice. I'm leaving the doctrine of repentance of dead works to give all I have to Jesus Christ and present my body a living sacrifice. We got people sitting here right now. Remember this church when I came, and I love you with all my heart. But you don't win as many folks to Christ as some of these folks been saved 6 months do. And the truth is, you sit there and watch those dirty, sorry, stinking, adulterous, whoremonger, sensuous soap operas. Whereas some folks been saved for a month, don't watch them. Now, let me show you what I mean. Listen to this verse right here. And her prophets have daubed themselves with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the people have not spoken. Now, untempered mortar. Years ago, in Texas, we built a building. It's the same one that I built. Didn't have any heat. I was a general contractor. I drew the plans. Didn't even have a ruler. Drew them freehand. I figured I needed a hole over here for some concrete, and a hole here, and a hole here, and a hole here, and a hole here. On dedication day, they asked me, when did you get your building permit? I didn't get one. Didn't know you had to. They said, you can't build a building without a permit. I said, there it is. We dedicated that building. We dedicated it to God, but he said he didn't want it. We dedicated that building. It rained one day. I went down to church the next morning. Water was 3 inches deep. We went up and patched the roof. Next time it rained, water was 3 inches deep. We worked on that roof and worked on that roof, and you folks that know Billy know where I'm heading right now. We did every time it rained. We even put another whole deck of roof on it. I'm talking about another sheet of roof on top. Next morning came down after it rained, 3 inches water. We kept every morning after it rained, we'd sweep that place out. Get a big old push broom and push that 3 inches of water. I'm mowing the yard too while I'm at it. Pushed it out. One day it dawned on me that somebody told me, said, did you put a certain ingredient in the mortar? I said, no. I just mixed up some sand and water. And they said, didn't you put something to keep seepage? I said, didn't know to. Water was seeping inside the mortar. Untempered mortar. And that's the way a lot of you folks are living. About every once in a while you sweep the place out. But you've never, never yet got the mortar tempered. I quit this, I quit that. And as I said a while ago, I'm for that. I think it's wonderful for a baby. Suppose these fellows on the platform walked out here tonight with baby bottles, sucking on a nipple, drinking milk out of a baby bottle. Or suppose they all walked out sucking their thumb. Or saying, I want my daddy. You'd say, those fellows are grown men. Well, what's wrong with sucking your thumb? Nothing if you're a baby. What's wrong with drinking out a baby bottle? Nothing if you're a baby. What's wrong with saying, I want my daddy? Nothing if you're a little child. But these are not children, they're grown men. Some more grown than others, but they're grown men. It's time some of the people in this room went from repentance of dead works to getting right with God. I don't expect a person got saved this morning to get right with God tonight. But I expect a person got saved 10 years ago to be right with God tonight. And God expects it too. Sometime when you have time, and I won't turn to it, but you go to the 51st Psalm. David
didn't mention adultery in that psalm. David had murdered a man, but did not mention murder in that psalm. In verse 2, he said, "Wash me truly." I want more than forgiveness and cleansing from my sin. I want to be washed all the way through. In verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart." In verse 10, he says, "Renew a right spirit within me." In verse 11, he says, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." In verse 17, he mentions, "Give him a broken and a contrite heart." What does it do? David goes to the source. Now, it wasn't always that way. When David first got saved, no doubt he had to lay aside the weights and the sin. Give up this sin, give up this sin, give up this sin. But there came a day when David transferred from Hebrews 12:1 to lay aside every weight and each sin to Romans 12:1. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying you get your heart right with God, and you get right with God, that'll take care of all these other little things. Now, until you get to a certain place of Christian maturity, you got to take care of them one at a time. But as here you are over here, Hebrews 12:1, I'm going to lay aside my primetime dirty TV programs. I'm going to lay aside my soap operas. I'm going to lay aside my cigarettes. I'm going to lay aside my drinking. I don't care if it's a bottle of whiskey or a sip of a martini on an airplane. I'm going to lay it aside. Or a glass of wine at the Christmas party of the company. I'm going to lay it aside. It's time some of you people decide. You ought not to have to ask God to forgive you for not going to church some Sunday. You folks that sing in the choir, you folks that are deacons, you folks that are Sunday school teachers, you ought to be so far behind that, that ought to be so far behind you, you ought not even think about not going to church on a Sunday. Leave those dead works. Leave that repentance of dead works. Get on your knees and get right with God and have a clean heart and a new spirit within you. God said it's time you left all that stuff and came to Romans 12:1. If you're a new Christian, I point you to Hebrews 12:1. If you're a bus kid, I point you to Hebrews 12:1. Lay aside every weight, every sin. If you're a babe in Christ, patiently, as a mother tries to train a child, patiently, as a child is taught to walk, or a child is weaned from mother's breast, or a child is trained to use the bathroom without diapers, patiently, we certainly wait on you. But if you've been faithful to this church for over a year, you ought to be in Romans 12:1. Present your body a living sacrifice. If you've been in Hammond Baptist schools almost every day of your life, you ought not to be in Hebrews 12:1, laying aside every sin. You ought to be in Romans 12:1, your body a living sacrifice. If you grew up in a godly home, you ought not to be in Hebrews 12:1. You ought to be in Romans 12:1. If you grew up in First Baptist Church at Hammond, you've heard me preach. Some of you teenagers, you wouldn't know me if you saw me on the street. You're too busy misbehaving back in the dark corners when you ought to be down the front listening to what the preacher has to say. If you grew up in First Baptist Church of Hammond, you listen to me. You listen to me. If you grew up in First Baptist Church of Hammond, and you took my sacrifice, do you understand for your sake I haven't had a vacation in 25 years? You understand that? You understand for your sake? I'm talking about you kids. I'm talking about you Hammond Baptist High School kids. It never dawns on you. Somebody had to sacrifice to put those buildings up out there. And then for you to take the sacrifice of those teachers who could have made three times what they make if they'd taught in some heathen public school. But they sacrificed. Why? For you, you ungrateful pig. For you. You ought not to be hanging around Hebrews 12:1. You ought to be to Romans 12:1. Saved as a child.
You folks that are deacons in our church ought not to be in still deciding whether to come to church or not. Still deciding whether to come Wednesday night or not. You folks in the choir, you shouldn't be deciding whether to come to choir practice or not. You shouldn't be deciding whether to tithe or not. That's what God is saying to these Hebrew Christians. You've been saved long enough to leave repentance of dead works and get right with God. You folks who Sunday school teachers, it's time you left Hebrews 12:1, went to Romans 12:1. You folks that teach in the Christian school, we shouldn't have to have you fill out something every week that says, I went soul winning. Or I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. That is absolutely ridiculous. But we have to, because a lot of you are still little babies, untrained. It's time you folks that teach in our Christian schools left Hebrews 12:1 and went to Romans 12:1. The folks on the staff here at the church. It's time you left Hebrews 12:1, went to Romans 12:1. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying here's a newborn baby in Christ. Just got saved. Repent of this dead work. And repent of this dead work. And as they come down the aisle after a while and do it, they should do it. And repent of this dead work. And quit the gangs. And young ladies start wearing decent lengths, modest skirts. And young men get haircuts like men ought to get. And quit your rock music. And quit your movies. But then there ought to come a day in your life where you put it in drive. Where you say, I'm not just going to repent of dead works. I'm going to get right with God. So tonight, to those of you who are new Christians, bus kids, babes in Christ, I point you to Hebrews 12:1. Lay aside every sin. And every weight. And give up and give up and start and give up and start. To those of you who've been saved a year, 2, 3, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, I point you to Romans 12:1. Present your body a living sacrifice. You're not going to get a baby Christian right with God any more than you get a baby child to work 40 hours a week. So I say to you who are new, guys, who are new Christians, who are bus kids, ex-gang members, I say, lay aside your sin. I say to those of you who've been saved for a while, you get right with God. Repenting is not getting right with God. Getting right with God is when a person has been saved long enough and taught enough to where he ought to get right with God and lay himself a living sacrifice on the altar. And he'll never again have to say, I give this up. I want to give this up. No, sir, he's right with God now. That's what he means when he says, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works. To those of you who are new Christians, I would suggest you repent of every sin you can think of. For those of you who have been saved for a while, I remind you that repenting is not necessarily getting right with God. I point you to Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've talked enough. I mean this. And you can like this or not like it, or you can lump it, or you can put sugar on it, or you can drink it as a liquid. But there's nothing disgusts me quite as much. Nothing. As for some 17-year-old or 18-year-old young lady or young man who has been the recipient of more sacrifice than any teenagers in this whole world have. We didn't say hocus pocus and Hammond Baptist High School gymnasium was built. Somebody built that gym where you play basketball. Somebody sacrificed. Somebody did without. Somebody built that chapel where you misbehaved. Somebody built that Hammond Baptist system. Somebody built Charles Anderson College. Somebody sacrificed to put it there. Nothing makes me want to puke any more than for someone to be the recipients of that kind of sacrificial love by this man and thousands of others and not turn out right. You've got your stinking nerve. I said, you've got your stinking nerve. And something else irritates me too. As soon as you graduate from our schools, you try to find some other church in the area where you can go and live like you stinking want to live. And you ought to be ashamed. I said you ought to be ashamed. Do you mean to tell me that you will take the blood, sweat, and tears of a mom and a dad and a preacher and a principal and teachers and Sunday school teachers and coaches and superintendents and youth directors, you mean you'll take that and take it and take it and take it and take it and trot yourself off some backslidden church where you can live like you want to live and grow your hippie hair and wear your pants on the women and live like you want to live? What in the world kind of Christian are you? It's time you got right with God. Shall we stand, please?
Choir will sing. Oh.